Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it: to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Melody Cederstrom, and this is Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Adask, to bring you opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. Today, Friday, March 8, 2013. Some of the things we'll be discussing today: is the U.S. dollar headed for deflation, inflation, or hyperinflation? Are we on the verge of recovery? We're going to be talking about the unemployment numbers today, and good they were. Probably lies, and we'll be discussing that a little bit later on. Or do you think we're already in another Great Depression? These are the things we'll be talking about today. But first, let's get to the market report. After those numbers came out this morning, you had gold was all over the page. It dropped to 1560 immediately. But she came back, and we had a high of 1585 and settling around 1579, basically unchanged. You have silver up 9 cents today at 2907. Platinum is up 9 at 1606. Palladium up 24 at 787. So palladium was the forerunner of the day, up a little over 3%. U.S. dollar index today, that, man, just crazy. 82.74.65, almost up a full point there. You had crude oil also up 2.23 at 91.79. And the market's like the numbers this morning, and, you know, it's like it wasn't going to be no big surprise. I mean, they've been talking about it all week long, and, of course, they wanted to have the Dow set another record closing high for the fourth straight day, ending at 14,397. Yeah, the NASDAQ up 12 at 32.44, S&P up 6 at 15.51, but they actually struggled. And you would have thought with this type of number coming out today that the market should have been up a couple hundred points if they really believed it. And I was really kind of surprised when they first released the numbers. It just kind of fluttered along and really didn't take off till later on. After the report was given, the 10-year yield today, that bumped up 0.06 at 2.06. The euro dropped, of course. It's just barely 1.2999, so 1.30 for conversation's sake. And again, oil just hanging right along. 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs, folks. Give us a call. And, of course, visit our website at dgscoins.com. That is DGS for discount gold, silver coins, COINS.com. Make sure you sign up for the weekly newsletter that comes out on Monday. And get your gold and silver. We have a great special today. We're going to be talking about Mint State 64 St. Gaudens. And I want to say hello to Alfred Addisk. Hello, Al. Hi, Al.
Thank goodness it's Friday, I guess. That's glad to be to the end of the week.
TGIF.
Yep. So what are we going to start with today, Melody?
Well, we do have one question coming in. This is from Richard. He says, sovereigns want to raise their gold reserves by 15%. The funds only owns about 1%. If they go to 2%, which they will, where is all the supply going to come from? Nobody is selling physical. The outrageous short position is going to be crushed.
Well, I pretty much agree with them. I mean, it makes sovereigns are trying to bar governments, alleged sovereigns, are frequently trying to buy as much gold as they can lay hands on. And where's the gold coming from? Who's selling? You know, it's an interesting question. I'm sure that some people who are listening to this program, they have coins and they have maybe perhaps bullion, and they liquidate from time to time when they have to in order to make ends meet or pay for whatever it is has to be paid for to buy something they want. But still, it's an interesting question. Where will the source of gold come from, particularly at these prices? If we have sovereigns that are trying to increase their holdings by another 15% or thereabouts, it implies there's got to be a massive demand for gold, and ultimately that has to mean that the price is going up, or at least that's what it should mean, unless the market is completely manipulated. And now, there's plenty of gold. If someone said the price of gold was $3,000 an ounce, I'd bet there's plenty of gold to be bought right now. All right, if that was the market price, there'd be a lot of people say, yeah, I'll sell for $3,000 an ounce. How many will sell for $1,600 an ounce? Even if they've got it, even if they're almost desperate, how many will sell? So where is this going to come from, and how can that demand persist without making prices go up? What do you think?
I think so. I agree. I agree. That's unusual.
I don't know that we agree. No, that's not unusual.
No, we do. We do agree a lot. But I just wanted to, and some of these numbers, Al, the unemployment rate today, it had actually shrunk. You know, you're going to hear two different sides of the story. And, of course, we'll take the truth side. But it showed that the unemployment rate declined today, and they said mostly because more people found work. However, there was 130,000 people without jobs that stopped looking for work last month. So and the government doesn't count them as unemployed, and that seems to be the real reason why that percentage point is declining. And they certainly had 236,000 jobs that were supposedly added in February, and I think they're fudging a little bit, because if you just don't go from 119 in January to 236 in February, and not during the winter months. And a lot of that was retail. They said retail added 24,000 jobs. Well, we all know that retail numbers have been down. In fact, Walmart came out the 1st of February and said, you know, they were having, they were projecting a very bad month. McDonald's came out today, and these are places where, you know, folks that are hardworking and so forth visit, you know, trying to stretch their dollars. And, you know, they didn't do a good job. I mean, their numbers weren't as good as what they had anticipated. They were a little bit lower. So a lot of these things, it just doesn't make sense. Construction supposedly had added 48,000 in February. Folks, it's winter. I mean, I didn't know they added that many construction jobs in February. I mean, we've had
To build the FEMA camps.
Maybe. We had some pretty major snowstorms and storms going across this country. I can't imagine a lot of construction, although you still have from Hurricane Sandy. And you also, when you think about the tornadoes and these other storms, there has been a lot of property damage. So it, to me, I think you would have more construction due to rebuilding than actually the building of new homes. But that's just my view.
We're going to touch on that later. With the possibility that we're headed into a Great Depression, and we're going to explore that possibility later in the program. But according to Forbes magazine, here's an excerpt from it. Our analysis of United States withheld income and employment taxes in 2012 tells us that job growth has been around 100,000 less per month than is being reported by the Bureau of Labor and Statistics. Again, this is Forbes magazine. The BLS, the Bureau of Labor and Statistics, has given us one number, and I presume they are behind the number du jour of 236,000 new jobs created. Forbes magazine is saying job growth has been 100,000 less, which implies, assuming that Forbes is still on target, the government says we added 236,000 jobs in February. It means, it suggests the real number is 136,000. And in the previous month in January, where they said we had a revised 119,000 new workers, new jobs, the real number, if Forbes is correct, is about 20,000. Now, I don't know what the truth of the matter is, but I know this is true. I know that no one is giving us numbers that any of us can just sit back. No official source is giving us numbers that we can sit back and rely on. And it is a virtual certainty that government wants to exaggerate and put a positive spin on the numbers they give us, which tells you right there you can't believe what they're telling us. You know, John Williams, in my opinion, is the only one who's probably trying to tell people the truth as best we can understand and discover it. Government is clearly lying most of the time. So what is, I don't know, is it cause for celebration? Is it cause for optimism? Did you ever see that movie, The Producers, with Zero Mostel and, Gene Hackman. Did you ever see that movie?
I was back in the 60s, right?
Yeah, might have been the 60s.
Before my time, Al.
They have since invented videotape and so on. But did you see it, even in your imagination, or maybe a psychic episode where you kind of imagine it? There is a scene in there where they have Dick Shaw. He's playing Hitler, and it's a comedy. And he's playing in a play called Springtime for Hitler. And they've got somebody come in, his propaganda, his guy in charge of propaganda, Nazi, comes in and he says, "We just invaded England." And Dick Shaw says, "Well, what happened?" And his guy said, "Well, we won." And Dick Shaw said, "Well, groovy, man." If any of you can remember the scene, and I'm not describing it very clearly, but if you can remember the scene in the movie, this is kind of what's going on in our government right now. They are succumbing to their own propaganda. They are kind of believing their own propaganda. I don't even know if they believe it, but they believe we believe it. I have no idea. That's what we need, is a survey. Who actually believes what the government says? We need a survey on that. I've seen a survey reference to a recent survey by Pew, P-E-W, organization, I can't remember the time, but in any case, they did a study indicates that 75% of the people in this country no longer trust the government. Three out of four people in this country distrust the government. So I'd like to know how many people really believe this when the government says we've got 236,000 new jobs in February and that the unemployment rate is down to 7.7%. Everything we see indicates that we are in much deeper trouble than that. You know, I've got a... Did I tell you I have a new pet, Melody?
No.
Well, I did. I bought myself a unicorn. Now, you can't see the unicorn and you can't hear the unicorn, but take my word for it.
You have one? All right.
Yeah. And guess what I call my unicorn?
What's that?
I call it Recovery. Here, Recovery. Here, Recovery. Oh, there it is. There's the unicorn right now. I'm going to feed it something right here. If it's too bad we don't have television, and this is only a radio program, because if we had TV, you could see the unicorn called Recovery. There is a point government needs. It depends. The economy depends on public confidence. But somewhere along the line, someone has to just deal with the truth, even if the truth is unpleasant. And it's not a bad thing. It's true that if we started telling the truth, if the government started telling the truth right now, it's entirely possible that they might collapse the economy. They feel compelled to continue telling lies in order to try to sustain the economy and hold it together. But in the process of doing it, if we hold with lies, we hold the economy again together this month and this year and maybe next year and then the year after that, all we're doing is digging the hole we are already in deeper and deeper and deeper. Iceland set a wonderful example back about, what, 3-4 years ago now, when they simply said, to heck with it. They wanted the people of Iceland to pay the bank's bills, the bank's debts, and the people of Iceland said, we're not going to pay it. How do you like that? And everybody predicted the world would come to an end. Iceland had a difficult 18 months, 2 years, and now they're one of the strongest economies. They're just a little country. I understand that. They're a little tiny place. We have, I don't know how many cities that are bigger than Iceland. But nevertheless, they set an example. They took their medicine. They had a difficult time for 18 months, 2 years, and then they started fresh, and now they are rolling. We will never start fresh until we admit the lies and we get down to the truth of the matter, call a spade, and say, okay, let's take our medicine because it's not going to kill us. We'd ride this out. If we know what the truth of the matter is, we can ride it out. It'll be difficult and painful. We'll ride it out. We'll get to the end of it. A couple of years, we'd be back in business. We can start regaining strength. But as long as government continues to feed us lies, because they're scared to death, oh my gosh, if we lose the public confidence, they've already lost the public confidence. 75% of the people don't trust the government. And they insist they've got to continue telling us lies. It's wrong, it's insane, it's irrational, it's not likely to work much longer. We'll watch and see, but we would be better off. Deal with the truth and move on from there.
Hey, here's a guy. He's an economics professor at the University of California at Berkeley. He says the employment to population ratio is exactly where it was 3.5 years ago. Hmm. He says there has been no closing of the output gap and no decline in the unemployment rate from putting a greater share of the adult population to work. All of the decline in the output gap and all the decline in the unemployment rate is from the collapse in labor market participation. An economics professor at the University of Michigan, he says we shouldn't confuse the positive trend for the overall state of the economy. The state of the economy is bad. It's not recovering. There's still millions still unemployed. So, you know, they can dance around these numbers all they want. And January, they had a good number in January, and the 119,000 was revised down. So how are they going to revise down February?
That's the other thing.
You know? Yeah.
They give you a number today and say, hooray, hooray. And then a month or two later, never mind. It's like, say, hey, I just hit a home run. And then a month later, say, oh, no, now that we think about it, no, you didn't hit a home run. All right?
I mean,
it's just crazy.
The GDP, they can revise, what, 2-3 times?
I don't know.
It's like, what? What, you can't get it right the first time?
We ought to just take a vote. Take a vote. Everybody vote on what you think the GDP should be.
You guys can't, you know, come together and pull it out of the sky and get together. It's amazing. That's how they report.
And that is, these are the kinds of numbers. It's part of the reason why people need to protect themselves. Sooner or later, truth is going to break loose on these things. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll free 866-229-3663 or online thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663 or thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. Now it's time for Ms. Melody to tell us what the special du jour is. We've got the special, Melody.
We're going to do something a little bit different. We have a Mint State $64.20 St. Gaudens.
Okay.
And we're bringing them. They're really a good special. I was able to buy a bunch of them at a really good price, so I'm going to extend that price over to the listeners. And they're really great coins they have. They give you privacy. They give you performance. And they give you, they're just a wonderful coin to have. They're premium. Some of the benefits that they've had over the past 10 years, the average premium over the past 10 years was 62%. The premiums did skyrocket about 118% in 10 months after the last cyclical low. I believe they're better than bullion. All the advantages of bullion, plus they come along with scarcity, increased profit potential, and financial privacy. These used to be one of Bob's favorite coins. I love the Mint State 64 $20 St. Gaudens. The regular price on these coins would be $2,120. Today, we're going to offer them at $1,995. That's $125 savings per coin. And we're also going to include shipping, which for one coin you're looking at $20 shipping. So that really is a savings of $145. It really is a great deal. You can buy one or more, one or two, one or four. You can buy 5, 10, 20, 30. So it's a great time to be picking up these coins. We've had a little bit of pullback. They've actually been doing very well during this fluctuation that we've seen in gold prices and spot gold. So give us a call at 1-800-375-4188 and pick up your Mint State 64 $20 St. Gaudens for $1,995, and that includes your shipping costs. So if you hadn't had the opportunity to get into the $20 gold pieces yet, this is a great time to be doing so.
Sounds like a great deal, Melody. Folks, give her Melody a call, 1-800-375-4188. What else have we got?
You know, we were going to do that comparison. You sent me something in reference to they were comparing the Dow. Everybody was so excited about the Dow Jones hitting all kinds of highs. But if you really go back and you take a look at what you compare the Dow in real numbers, inflation-adjusted averages, those numbers really don't look so good when you're talking about 14,000 plus for the Dow Jones, Al.
I understand. When you calculate, you add in the inflation and what, and you make a real calculation in terms of value, not in terms of nominal numbers, but in terms of value, and you find the Dow isn't doing the Dow 14,000 is 40% higher than the Dow 10,000. That was November of 2009. But few think in terms of real numbers, inflation-adjusted averages. Everyone knows that inflation exists. In the article we're reading from, it's comparing what the price of beef is relative to the Dow Jones average. It starts with that. Does a number of comparisons. Beef is one. Based on United States Department of Agriculture retail price data, today the Dow will buy you 3,332 pounds of beef. In other words, you take the Dow 14,000, convert it into dollars, and you can buy 3,332 pounds of beef at the supermarket. This sounds like a lot, but it's actually about 20% less than the 4,046 pounds of beef the Dow could buy back in December of 1999. What does that mean? It means the Dow is not going up. It means the dollar is losing value. And the Dow, in fact, as measured in beef. Now, people say, who cares about measuring the Dow in beef? Okay, we don't care about that. But let's look at fruit. Here's bananas versus the Dow Industrial Average. All right? Based on the wholesale price of bananas, the Dow currently buys you a whopping 15.35 tons of bananas. All right? But this is exactly the same amount of bananas the Dow would buy back in February of 2008 when the Dow was just 12,266. And it's a massive 60% drop from the June 1999 when the Dow bought 38.51 tons of bananas. This is simply evidence that what we're talking about is in terms of value, not in terms of just numbers, but in terms of value, the Dow has been dropping dramatically, as measured with beef, as measured with fruit. Here's another one with gasoline. There's today the Dow will buy roughly 3,812 gallons of unleaded non-premium gasoline. This is almost exactly the same as last January, just 15 months ago, when the Dow was only 12,633. It's evidence that the Dow, although we see the number is higher, it's jumped up over 14,000. The significance is not what people suppose. It's jumped up over 14,000, but it will buy less than it did several years ago, 10 years ago, and it's a difficult concept. It's not all that hard, but it's just contrary to what people want to think. We want to believe the number. Just give me the number. Just tell me what the price. What's the Dow right now? All right. We want the nominal measure of the Dow. We don't want to think about value. We want to be able to sit back and say, well, I bought the Dow when it was only 12,000. Now it's 14,000. I'm up 2,000 points. That means I'm smart. I'm a winner. And the truth of the matter is, if the Dow's value, not the number, the value, if the value has been falling, even though the number is going up, you're not a winner. It may be good for your ego to think that you're doing well in the Dow. And that's human nature. That's just a natural, that's true for anyone with any investment they make. We all want to see our investments go up. But the truth is, we have to think, we have to learn to think in terms of value, not just in terms of numbers. And we're just reading from a couple of graphs here that illustrate that point. Dow is up, hitting a new record, yada, yada. But in fact, it's up nominally, it's not up in terms of value. So,
I think the one that really truly makes a point is if you match the gasoline gallons set in March of 1999, the Dow would need to almost triple from where it's at today.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I mean, triple.
Yeah.
Just to match its high of 10,000 gallons in March of 1999. So, are you better off? Just think about if you had owned gold in 1999.
That's exactly right.
So,
if you had gold, you would be way up, up, up. You've got the Dow, you've got paper dollars. You are, in fact, in terms of value, you're down. And you are likely to continue to go down so long as you store your wealth in the form of paper debt instruments like the U.S. dollar or stocks from the Dow Jones Industrial Average, and so on. If you're holding paper, you are losing your assets. If you want to preserve your wealth, you need to look at gold.
And let's see, Al, is the U.S. dollar headed for deflation, inflation, or hyper?
Well, according to John Williams, and this is he has an article, Hyperinflation Outlook, and he has a summary. John Williams believes that we will see hyperinflation. It could start as early as the end of this year. He expects to see no later than the end of 2014. He is describing the financial turmoil and currency upheaval facing the United States in the next year or two. He can't nail this thing down. No one can. No one can absolutely tell you what's going to happen 6 months from now, a year from now, whatever. No one knows for an absolute fact. We have opinions. No one knows. But Williams, John Williams, he is really one of the few people in the world. I sit back and I take my hat off to this guy. He is kind of a hero to me. He's the one who started to calculate what the inflation rate and the unemployment rate and different economic numbers, important economic numbers were. He started calculating them, maybe 5-8 years ago. I'm not sure how long he's been doing this. But he started using the same formula that the government used, I believe, back around 1980. and I may be mistaken on that, but 1980, I might be wrong. But the government has been constantly redefining the formulas they use to calculate these numbers, like unemployment. Talked about unemployment earlier in the program, and part of the way they have managed to make unemployment only 7.7% is they no longer count people who aren't looking for jobs anymore. They've been unemployed for a couple of years. They finally stopped looking. They've said, to heck with it, I'm not looking for jobs anymore. They've found a way to survive, I don't know how, without looking for jobs. Maybe they're on welfare. Who knows what they're doing? But the government doesn't count them anymore. That's the way they are fudging the formulas. They just say, well, we've got 100,000 people added that are unemployed this month, but we're only going to count 50,000. See? And that's how we can come up with a number like 7.7% unemployment. Williams, the last time I looked, I think he's in the neighborhood of 15, 16% unemployment. It might be as high as 19%. I don't clearly recall, but in broad strokes, John Williams says the real unemployment level is at least 10% higher than the government is reporting. They say it's 7.7%. Williams, I haven't looked at his numbers lately, but he is probably in the neighborhood of 7.7% plus 10% that they're not talking about. Ballpark figure. He's going to guess that the unemployment numbers are perhaps that much higher, and I may be exaggerating some, but any case, Williams is a hero to me because the man actually makes an effort to tell the truth, to discover the truth, to calculate the truth, to show you evidence that his truth is correct. He says we're going to see financial turmoil and currency upheaval in the next year or two. He is anticipating domestic hypers. The basics haven't changed other than events keep moving towards circumstances of a domestic hyperinflation by the end of 2014. Hyperinflation, of course, just for what it's worth, we can clarify this a little bit. If we go into deflation, the dollar becomes more valuable. If we have inflation, which is what we've had almost persistently, certainly for the last 40-some years since 1971, inflation, the value of the dollar becomes a little bit less valuable every year. If they can convince you that the inflation is only about 2%, then you might not mind being robbed of 2% of your gross every year. But the real inflation rate may be closer to 8-9%, in which case you're losing quite a lot every year to inflation. Government's not telling you about it, but you're losing. I'm losing. Creditors are losing. But if we go into hyperinflation, that's a situation where we have inflation of 20% or more. And under those definitions of hyperinflation vary, but 20% is at least one definition. And under those circumstances, your dollar will lose half of its value, I don't know, every 2 or 3 years. You got a dollar today, it'll be worth 50 cents within 3 years, thereabouts, in terms of purchasing power. You'll still have a dollar, but its value will be 50% compared to what it is today. So where are we going? Deflation signals a depression. Inflation, the government is still moving the economy, holding it together and keeping it moving sideways, more or less. Hyperinflation is a moment that doesn't last long. Typically, you won't see hyperinflation that extends for more than a year in this country. It'd be very surprising if it held out. You may have hyperinflation, for example, in Zimbabwe. They had it for several years in Zimbabwe. I doubt if you could sustain hyperinflation in this country for more than a year. But under those circumstances, prices move rapidly. They go like the dial on the gas pump. You pull in to get the gas, and the numbers are spinning. That's almost what happens with hyperinflation. Prices are going up weekly, monthly for sure, weekly, perhaps daily, maybe even hourly. Prices are changing, and it reflects a complete loss of confidence in the fiat currency. It's when people just say, this isn't worth anything. I'll go in and offer Melody. Melody, I'll give you $2,000 for a coin. Melody says, oh, you're crazy. I'm not going to sell that coin for $2,000. I say, okay, I'll give you $4,000 for the coin. And Melody says, okay, I'll take the $4,000. But call her a week from now and she's going to need $6,000 or $8,000. All right? It is a reflection of a moment when people just lose confidence in the fiat dollar and the end is near. Williams, in any case, his conclusion is that, and here's another thing Williams is talking about that's worthwhile, ongoing and deepening economic woes assure that the usual budget forecasts, based on overly optimistic economic projections, will fall short of fiscal balance and propriety. Furthermore, chances remain nil that the government addressing the gap-based deficit, and they mean generally accepted accounting practices, if you calculate the deficit, the annual deficit, government says the annual deficit's right now about $1.1 trillion. But if you calculate the deficit according to generally accepted accounting practices, and these are the practices you have to use if you're running a business, the deficit's really about $6.6 trillion in 2012. All of this just points to we're headed, in Williams' opinion, we're coming to domestic hyperinflation, unfolding fiscal collapse, gloom, doom, trouble. You know, we shall see, but he's anticipating a dollar selling panic this year with effects and aftershocks setting hyperinflation into action in 2014. All of this is good for gold. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cedarstrom. We'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a KU band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click Satellite System.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188. All your gold and silver coin needs, give Melody a call. She'll be there as soon as we finish this program. About 15 minutes from now, you'll be able to catch Melody on the 800 number, 1-800-375-4188.
And we must remind the listeners that our program is live. It's a live broadcast between 4 and 5 o'clock Eastern Time. And I do know this program is played across the country, across the world at all times as we rebroadcast it. So if you happen to catch this on a different hour or a different day even, just let us know and we'll extend the special to you as long as we can at the same price. But you do need to call us, 800-375-4188. And those our program at 8 o'clock Eastern Time, remember, is changing frequencies to 6.875 beginning Monday. So right now it's 3.190 shortwave, and it will be changing at 8 o'clock back to the 6.875. We got some questions coming in, Alfred.
Okay.
And
did they come in on the 900 number?
No.
Well, we don't actually have a 900 number.
No.
But,
no.
Okay, so we're answering these questions for free. Is that right?
This is correct.
Okay. All right, let's do it.
Especially for Ivan.
Uh-huh.
He says, we were talking about how the Dow is being up, and as you point out, its value is down. In other words, is the dollar being inflated?
Yeah, that's the implication. The dollar is losing value, and we see that. You can hear the commercial that's associated with this program. Points out that back in, it's not quite the way the commercial operates, but you can go back to 1968 in terms of silver. As late as 1968, you could redeem one paper dollar for 1 ounce of silver. Today, ballpark figure, 30 paper dollars for 1 ounce of silver. Used to be one, now it's 30. That's from 68, that's 32, 45, it's in about 45 years. The value of the dollar as measured against silver, which then the price of silver is being suppressed, but even so, the value of the dollar, the value has fallen by 97% in the last 45 years. That is an illustration of inflation. We can see something similar with gold. Huh? There has been spectacular losses in the value of the dollar. And this is not a small thing. This isn't an unimportant thing. How much money did you contribute to Social Security or to your 401k or whatever, say 30 years ago or even 40 years ago? The dollars you put in there, nominally, you might sit back and say, hey, I'm doing well. But in terms of value, you're going to be lucky to have made a real gain. The dollars that were deposited into your retirement, your pension, your 401k, whatever, back 30, 40 years ago, have become worth a nickel or a dime compared to the purchasing power they had when you made those deposits. And the government understands this. As confusing as it is for most of us to understand the idea of inflation and deflation and so on, government understands. And it's not an accident. They're doing this to rob you and rob me. They have borrowed money, you're the creditor, and they're going to pay you back with tokens that are worth a fraction of the money that you loaned the government in the first place. How do you loan money? Did you pay Social Security? Every one of you understands that government has been borrowing out of the Social Security account. And they put this piece of paper in the Social Security account and say, oh yeah, we're going to borrow $20 million or $200 million or whatever, and we're going to put it back. Well, you can count on us. Yeah, they'll pay you back. They will pay you the nominal face value of those dollars. It will be paid back to Social Security, but the purchasing power will be dramatically reduced. And it is by means of inflation that the government is robbing the American people. This isn't a misunderstanding. This isn't a little aberration. This isn't, you know, a little correction in how much money you're going to get out of your pension. This is evidence that the government is robbing you, and robbing you big time. That being the case, And they have a pattern of doing that that goes back, you can trace it at least back to 1971, and arguably you can probably trace it back further than that. What do you think the chances are that the government will stop robbing us anytime soon? What do you think the chances are that the government is going to sit back and say, oh, wait, let's stop robbing the American people, particularly when the government is going broke? Right now, they're in a bind. They're going to take money any place they can find it. And inflation is one way they are going to rob creditors. It's not necessarily the only way. Implication, if you want to protect and preserve your wealth, it may be up to you to find a way that you can hang on to your wealth and not be robbed by inflation. Gold and silver coins, of course, are certainly one of the best ways around to avoid having your wealth confiscated by means of inflation. What else we
have? Hey, Al, we got two callers. The first one we're going to take is John from Michigan.
Hello, John.
Yeah, hello, Al and Melanie. The former territory of Michigan. Wisconsin, in other words.
Yeah. Well, thank you for calling. Welcome.
Okay, we got a little thing about the sequester. They're trying to save money, so they're going to stop the visiting at the White House.
Yeah.
And that's supposed to save money, but that's not the real reason. The real reason is Mrs. Obama is sick and tired of cleaning up after these visitors, tracking in all that dirt, and she's getting blistered hands, and she's breaking her fingernails, and she's getting calloused knees from cleaning up, and how is that going to look when she goes to on vacation to Hawaii?
I get you. That's a problem, all right.
I had a little humor in there, you know.
I get you, John. My question, I've heard rumors that she's planning to redecorate. And my guess is if she's as talented at redecorating as she is at picking her own clothing, I mean, this is not Jackie Onassis. And it may be that's why they're shutting it down. What do you think?
Well, I don't know. I think it's because she's just tired of cleaning up the floor after you're there. Okay, I won't waste any more radio time. I'll let you go.
Thank you, John.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.
We got another call for Stephen, or from Stephen in New York. Steve, are you there?
I am. Hello, Alfred, Melody. Question is, if you missed the boat when the metals were a little bit cheaper, would it be advisable now, since everybody's talking about how high the market is, to actually short the market, make some money, and then buy precious metals with that?
I can't answer that question because I can't give you a prophecy in terms of where it's going to be. My perspective on this is we live in difficult and potentially dangerous times. I think the most sensible thing people can do is grab hold of some gold, grab hold of some silver. I assume you're talking about shorting electronic versions of gold. Is that true?
Yeah.
For me, I would take it, hold it in my hand, and hang on tight.
No, I'm not shorting the precious metal market, but shorting the an actual market or stock or something like that, because the way everybody's talking is that there's going to be a correction.
Well, I can see, I understand what you're saying. Everybody's talking that way. It's high probability that we're going to see that correction. But I'm not inclined to speculate. I'm not inclined to gamble. I am content to take what I think is a likely and reasonable return on my investment, something that I can hang on to, something I can believe in. Your proposal is more risky than mine. I'm sitting here saying, okay, get some gold, put it in your hand, and just hang on tight. You may make a lot more money if you short. You may do much better than I will. All right?
Mm-hmm.
But if you miss the timing on this,
you lose it all.
Turns out that the market doesn't go down when you think it's going to go down, I'm going to still be sitting here holding the gold coin, and you're going to have some interesting paper that you can paste on your wall. And so from my perspective, I'm going to guess that you're a relatively young man. Is that true or false, Stephen?
I'm about 50.
Yeah, all right. You're young enough to take a risk. I'm a senior citizen. I'm more inclined. I'm more inclined to hang on to what I've got, especially if I believe that it's going to do me well over the course of the next several years. And I'm not inclined to do risk. Your age, you may be, so it's personal choice as much as anything else. I'm sure you know all this. I mean, you knew this before you called us. I don't think we're telling you anything you didn't already know. But
right. Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much.
All right, Steve. Thank you.
I think if folks decide they want to take a little bit of a risk, they have to make sure that they do it with disposable income. Income that if you can afford to lose. If you can afford to lose it, you want to gamble a little bit. Hey, there's nothing wrong with that. But don't take all the money that you work so hard for and risk it, because it is a risky bet. Shorting the markets is a risky bet because the markets are rigged, and don't ever forget that. And you know, I just don't believe. And what happens so often is when people are making money, they stay in there just a little bit longer just to make a little bit more. And then guess what? Most people don't have the discipline to pull it out when their funds out when they need to. And it's the same way we see things when markets go up and markets go down. If they're going up, it's like, well, you know, people never sell their gains. They don't take money off the table. And if you own shares, that's what you should be doing. I don't think these markets are meant to hold anymore. You know, yeah, back in the 50s when you held, Coca-Cola or Pepsi-Cola, I mean, you got dividends, people retired on it, and it was all fine and dandy. To me, that was the beginning of the conditioning of the people to get to the markets to where they are today. Markets aren't like that anymore. They're too rigged. So, hey, you're making a little money on your shares, pull the money out, buy physical gold, put it away. That's your less risky trade. And I don't believe stocks are meant to be held. Thank you forever.
Mm-hmm.
So no,
I agree. And part of the evidence of that is they have computer programs that are moving these stocks back and forth, up and down, in just microseconds. They have set up some of the computers that are used to trade on the markets. They are intentionally located at buildings that are a little closer to Wall Street because it gives them a couple of microseconds advantage, gives the computers a couple of microseconds advantage on their decisions to buy or sell at any given moment as compared to competitors who have their computers located a half a mile further away. It gives them an advantage. And what that indicates is that the stocks are moving so fast, they're practically shimmering. They're vibrating up and down, back and forth. And they're moving faster than you and I can participate. Now, what you're looking at is pure speculation. We don't know what's going to happen on these things. The way these computer programs are rigged, we've had flash crashes on the markets. The markets no longer reflect what you and I think. What should the price be for corn or frozen concentrated orange juice or whatever? What do you think it should be, Melody? What do I think? Let's talk about it. Let's think about it. Markets aren't doing that. They are moving instantaneously. And as soon as one computer says it moves up, another computer reads that and either joins it or works against it, and it moves down. And the profits are being gained or lost in fractions of a second, faster than people can comprehend. And it's increasingly much like a roulette wheel or a digital slot machine. Pull the lever, watch the wheels rotate, bang, maybe you won, maybe you lost. Pull the lever, watch the wheel rotate, win, lose. I don't know. It's the sort of thing that becomes disconcerting, a little bit scary. Your opinion isn't really counting anymore. Computers are deciding whether the market goes up or down. And all by itself, that's just unnerving. It's the kind of thing where you should sit back and say, not for me. I'm looking for some gold. I'm looking for some silver. And Frank, the producer, is looking for me to be quiet so we can terminate the program. Want to thank all you folks for listening. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be back next Monday. In the meantime, may the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
there never seems to be a single penny left for me.